thank you for having me up here. This sounds so weird. So my what's it called? Oh yeah, the name of my sermon is Keeping Our Lives Clean. So some of our houses are dirty and some of our houses are clean. But we can't always keep them clean, even though we try constantly. We have kids. And no offense, kids, but I know it's pretty hard to keep our houses clean, just like it's hard to keep our lives clean. But we have a hard time keeping our lives clean and our houses clean because we constantly mess up in our lives and we have sins in our lives and then we just forget about those sins and they're just like a stain on the wall, like somebody drew something there and then you can't ever get it off. But what I'm planning on talking about tonight is how our lives are no different from houses being dirty or clean. So anyway, oh man, I went completely off track. So anyway, but there's just one key difference in our lives. Our lives are always dirty, just like I said, like 10 times. It doesn't matter if we just keep constantly cleaning it. We're just gonna have dust in our life. Just look at the dust and, oh yeah, it was just that one time I stole a brownie. That's fine. It's not gonna do anything. Then that dust builds up and builds up and builds up and you get rid of it and it keeps coming back and it keeps coming back and it won't go away. Jeez. I know, but I've gone completely off track. So I'm going to read to you a verse. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rag, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." My first point tonight is that we are not always perfect. Now, obviously, I can't even keep my own room clean most of the week. But I do try and clean the house whenever I have free time. And whenever I do, it looks pretty good, if I do say so myself. And then it just gets dirty right when the girls come home. It does. Right when it gets dirty, I want to clean it right back up again. But in my life, I'm not the same way. I clean my life up, and then it gets dirty again once I have a sin in my life. And then I just don't want to clean it again. And that's it. I leave it there, just a stain on the wall. Let's see, how do I say this? I'm sorry. I know this is pretty obvious, but we need to keep our lives clean constantly. We won't always not have sin. Yeah, sure, let's go with that. Our sin is always gonna come, just like our houses are always gonna get dirty. And we keep cleaning it and cleaning it and cleaning it. Just gets even dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. And as we go on, we forget about our lives, we forget about God, and then our life just disappears. It's just full of sin. We can't live in it anymore, and we have to move on to a different life. Now I will read to you another verse. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It's a common one. Like, we all have sinned, we've fallen short, really short, from the glory of God. Just like in a race, we're running, and then we trip, and then we fall down, and everybody else wins the race, but not everybody. And then you just lay there embarrassed, nothing to do, you're alone there in sin. And then you want to get back up, you want to go back and finish the race. And Sorry. Where's my water? Let's see. Where am I? Oh yeah. We can't always keep it clean. Obviously, just without God. God is the number one thing in our life that can keep our life clean. And he's like the duster, the mop, the what's it called, broom, the vacuum. He's every single appliance in our house. We just never use him. And we're like, oh yeah, stain on the wall, that's fine. I'll clean it later. And then we forget about it, and oh yeah, that stain again. That's fine. Okay. But we never use God. We never take up our appliances. We never take them. We wash off the wall. No, we don't do that. Not all the time. Geez. If we have God in our life, is going to be clean for the most part. I'm not saying that like having God in your life isn't always going to keep your life clean. He is going to keep your life clean constantly. But you also have to be a part of that. You also have to keep cleaning your house along with him. And when you're cleaning your house with somebody else, you're cleaning, and it gets done faster. And it stays clean because either that person is a really good cleaner or you're the good cleaner and that person's just a bad cleaner. But we have to keep cleaning with God in our life. Use him as a rag. We wipe off the island. We sweep the floor, and we do all that stuff. But my gosh, this is gonna be so short. My second point is keeping it clean. Like what I've said before is we don't always use God, and that's the big, big problem. We have the house clean, just like our lives are clean for about like a split second, and then something happens, and it's either a dirty mind, a dirty mouth, or it's just a dirty body or something like that. You get involved with that sin, and when you get involved with that sin, your windows shatter, you don't take care of them. Somebody throws a baseball into your house or a bomb for some reason and blows up, creates a big black spot. And you say you're going to clean that and you don't, and it just stays there forever. And then, like I said before, you move out and you go to a different life, and that life isn't going to be better than the other one that you had. Now I have some different verses. Where's my Bible? There it is. I have some different verses that I would like to read to you. Get in there. Let's see. I've already read those two. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Let me go there real quick. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Yeah. All right. Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious, yes, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Sorry, emaluation. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's just like we grab a cup, we spill it, and it's just like, let's go with wrath. Somebody drops something and you're like, hey, that's not cool, man. And your life gets, it evolves into anger, and that anger gets stronger and stronger and stronger, like dust or stains. It's going to keep going deeper, like mold or something like that. And it keeps getting deeper and deeper into your life. And then eventually your life is entirely anger or wrath. And you want to get back at that person. But if your life gets filled with wrath and you want to clean it again, all you have to do is just like, don't think about the bad things. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to shoot this guy just because he said a bad word to me and I don't like it. So I grab out a gun and I pop him. No, that's pretty bad. What you're supposed to do is like, that gun it should not be used for anything like murder, wrath, or anything like that. So you pick up that gun and you either throw it into a case and leave it there forever, don't ever use it, or you just use it on that same person. And then it stays there. That bad thing in your life stays there, like a really bad stain. And then you can't get rid of it. But then if you want somebody to help you clean it up, such as like your best friend or your neighbors or your parents or somebody like that, all you have to do is call them up and say like, hey, I need help getting rid of this rotten board. It's too high for me to reach. Can you come over here and help me? That person's like, yeah, sure. They come over, they help you get rid of it, just like somebody comes over, helps you with your life, such as God. And when he comes over and he gets rid of that rotten board, then you have nothing to worry about. And then that sin is gone, or that rotten board is gone, and it's just replaced by something good, something new. Now, the other verse I want to read to you is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. So, 1 Corinthians 9 through 10. All right. First Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what I think that verse is talking about is, what it's talking about is like, if let's say you have a bad criminal record, and somebody looks at you and they're like, oh yeah, you have this pretty bad criminal record. What are you gonna do about it? Oh, nothing. It can stay there. It's not that big of a deal. It's like 15 years ago or something. That person is gonna think something different about you. Like, this person's pretty bad. I don't want to give them this. I don't want to give them that. I don't want to even go shooting with them. They might hurt somebody, or they might hurt themselves. And they don't want to give you anything. Just like God said in that verse, like, if you're unrighteous, if you have sin in your life, you're not gonna inherit the kingdom of God. But what I have to help you with that, oh, this is going even shorter, is Acts 2:38. Where is Acts? Oh boy, I don't even know where Acts is. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What he's talking about there is obviously repent, be baptized, except like what you have to do get rid of those stains, get rid of that rotten board, get rid of that mold. And you should receive something good, like probably like a good award or a medal or something for cleaning up house. Just like if you're saved in Christ and you're baptized in Christ, then you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is way beyond medals. It's way beyond gold, pure gold. It's way beyond anything.
Amen.
And we can't do that on our own. We can't just go up and like clean it. All right, can I have that award now? No. It's not that easy. What we have to do, repent to God, and then we shall receive that eternal gift. And it's never going to run out, just like metals are either going to turn to rust, or it's going to fall apart, or it's going to do something like that. This is probably going to be embarrassing for me. Oh, sorry. Oops. So I have obviously had a lot of embarrassing moments in my life, a lot. Like falling down in soccer, breaking my arm. That was probably really embarrassing. That's pretty embarrassing of my life. But that's nothing related. Something related is that I stole a brownie like 5 years ago or something, I don't remember. And I hid it from my mom, and I was like, no, I don't have a brownie. It's not here. You can't find it. Obviously, when it was behind my back, and I wouldn't let her see it. Just like we don't let people see the sins in our life, because we want ourselves to have a good life. We want them to see that we are that one perfect person. We have that good heart. We care about everybody. And we don't always show them. And we don't ever want to show them. Hang on. Now some other stories, embarrassing stories, is that sometimes I have stolen things like, I don't think I've stolen a big bag of candy. I have stolen like maybe the Switch into my room or something like that. And then I've like done something similar to that, and I'm playing it. And then I get caught, and that's the end. But it's just like there's like this big hole in the wall, we grab some boards, we put them in, grab some paint it over so that nobody can see it, and then that's it. People won't see it because it's hidden, because you hide your sins behind your heart, so that nobody can see it. The other verse that I would like to read to you is Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let's see, I don't even know how to explain that one. What I'm pretty sure that it's talking about is like, how much more should we sin? How much more should we do stuff when somebody gave us, let's say, $3,000, and we just spend that all on doing even more bad, dirty things? Let's see. My other point, what is my other point? Now, this is probably completely off track, but what we Perez's use in our household, now you, I'm not saying that you should always use these, but you should. This is called ways to keep ourselves pure. Number one is monitor what we watch. We can't watch bad, dirty things. We can't watch somebody shooting somebody and just like, yay, I want to be like that person. No, we have to monitor what we watch. What we watch in our household is movies we've seen 1,000 times or some different Christian movies like The Passion of the Christ or something. That was a while ago. Number two is observe the Bible. Focus on what you're doing. And even before you do it, look into your Bible, find a verse or a passage or a chapter or a book that says something about like that sin or something. Number three is confess. 1 John 1:9 says, where is it? All right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What that verse is talking about is that he doesn't care what we've done in the past. He's like a homeowner. He comes in, he sees the rotten boards, he sees the mold. He doesn't care about that. If you've done a good job of keeping your life straight, not that he cares about that, he's going to forgive us. He sees that mold and he's like, that's okay. It's growing there. You probably haven't had enough time to take care of it. That's fine. I forgive you. And then like he'll help us. He'll cleanse us from all of our unrighteousnesses. He'll help us come in and he'll get rid of the mold. He'll scrape off the stains. He'll get rid of all the bad sins in our life. Number four is watch. Is be careful what we say, think, and do. We have a big problem of doing this. We look at a person and we're always like, "Ooh boy, that person has pretty bad teeth. It smells. Mom, I don't want to be around this person. They must have smoked a lot." And we don't think about that twice. And we go up to that person like, "Hey, your teeth is pretty bad. Brush your teeth more." No, we can't do that. We cannot do that. Too rude. And besides, it says, yeah, it is. In the Bible, it obviously says that we can't do anything like that. And what we think is like, that person, I don't like him. But number five is stay close in contact with Jesus and within prayer. Now, I have a hard time of doing this. I will admit that. But I do not pray that often. I do not read my Bible that often, and I am planning on doing it after I am done with my sermon. I can't do it right now. And the sixth one is listen to Christian music. That's one of our big things in our house. We cannot listen to secular music. We have to listen to like Crowder or Kenan Country or City of Light or something like that. Besides, they have pretty good songs. And some other ways that we like to keep ourselves pure and clean in our house is that we always have to read our Bible before breakfast. It doesn't matter what time, well, it does kind of matter, what time we wake up, we have to read our Bible before we eat breakfast. If we eat breakfast after, if we read our Bible after breakfast, then we have to do it all over again in the morning. Another one of our things is obviously don't hit, don't fight, don't anything that siblings do. We do that a lot in our household, a lot. We fight a lot over the TV, over the games, over which turn, whose turn it is to do the dishes, whose turn it is to let Moon out to go for a walk, whose turn it is to take care of the clothes or something like that, even though it's not that big of a deal. We have done that a lot in the past, and I'd like to say I'm not proud of it. We've had fights that have turned into even bigger fights, and then it ruins our life, and it's just a big black spot in our house. And another one that I would like to say is that we always pray before we eat. We ask God to bless the food, let it nourish our bodies, and stuff like that. We do that just to show God that we are in prayer with Him, and that we haven't forgot about Him, but also for the food. And that is most of the stuff that we use in our household. Now, some of these I would like to recommend to you. Now, this is, I'm gonna be really early. So this is probably the end of my sermon. I know, I probably should have said I was gonna be really short. But what I would like to, what I would like to say is, please keep your life clean. I know we can't always keep it clean because we forget about prayer, we forget about the Bible, we forget about doing stuff that God wants us to do, and we're not always gonna remember that. Not always, because I forgot about those. But I would like to say that it doesn't matter if you have this big black spot in your kitchen where you burned the macaroni, or your stove blew up for some reason. It's just a big black spot. God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care what your life looks like. What He's gonna do is that He's gonna help you clean it back up. He doesn't wanna clean it up so that people can look at you and say, oh yeah, this person is pretty nice. They are a Christian. They have their life in order. He doesn't want people to see that. He wants people to see that we trust in the one true God, the one true God that has kept our life in order, that has kept our life clean. Just like the person in your house that has helped you to keep your house clean, that has swept for you, that has cleaned the island off for you. And what I would, wait, no, I've already said that. Let's see. I know I've already said this, but please keep your life in order. I'm just repeating stuff. I know it's pretty hard to keep our house and our life clean all together at once because you have siblings and other people in your life. It's not going to be pretty if you don't fix it up. But fix it up. You need to have Jesus in your life to help you with that big shooting you did. What? Okay, I'm just using examples. Just have God in your life. He is going to clean that life up. He's going to clean up that life that you had before where you stole something, like, let's say, a diamond. I don't know. You stole that diamond. He's not going to care. He's going to help you with that. He's just gonna polish it off, and then that's fine. He leaves it there, on display for people to see what you have done, to see people, to have people to trust you, and see that your house is always, but not wait, that is mostly clean all the time. He wants people to see that you are a Christian, that you trust in God. He wants people to see that in your life, you have had sins, but they don't matter to you. They're just one little crumb on the island, and then that's it. He wants people to see that you have your life in order. And that is all for my sermon.